Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Filipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast. Stunning Stan T at your service, literally to my right, Ravishing Ro Moran. And we're debuting the new era of the SGP podcast.
New era, a.k.a. galing sa bahay.
It's fine. I mean, like, there are a lot of podcasts that started this way. It's kind of weird how
Colt Cabana.
We ended up going this way.
Studio up. Apartment.
Yeah. Well, it's not a studio apartment. It's a one-bedroom apartment.
Called Cabana.
Yeah. So, like we said last week, we have a very special episode to kick off this new era in the SGP podcast. And that's why with us, we've got two guests from PWR. Let's welcome JDL or Mark Javeliana. That's a shoot name because we are doing... we're shooting from the hip tonight.
Pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew.
Also joining us tonight, Red Oliero. You know him as Redrick Mahaba as well.
Yeah. Hello.
People who don't... No.
I'm really boring.
Okay. People who don't know that he was actually a comedian first.
Yeah, yeah. I am.
And Redrick Mahaba second.
I did guest here as Red Oliero first.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah.
Several times, so, like yeah. One or two times.
So, but the second time, you were Redrick Mahaba nata.
I don't remember, but I've been here a lot.
You praised Jake De Leon sa episode na yan,
diba? Oh, nga. I've been here so many times na, and nakita ko nag-move up na kayo.
Thanks, man. Pwede talaga naman na move up sa condo.
Yeah. Ninth floor pa rin.
Ninth floor pa rin.
Yeah, yeah. Ninth floor. See, the number 9 is always special to me for some reason. Mm-hmm. I guess that's why. So, before we get to this week's podcast and things that we have to talk about, there's an actual list. There's a list of Oliero right now. Now, before we talk about the person who made the list, let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom 11 and how it was such an epic show altogether. I don't even know where to begin. Probably the fact that the main event was a 6-star match from a 5-star scale.
Yeah. From the man itself.
Yeah.
Meltzer. Did it, yeah.
The Okada Omega match just broke the Dave Meltzer scale. It was a 45-minute affair. It was crazy. Siguro sa simula, diba, it starts slow like any marathon match.
Like any NJPW main event.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when it picked up the pace, it just didn't stop.
Oh, insane. Jesus Christ.
I don't know who you guys rooted for. I know you rooted for Okada.
I was rooting for
Okada. Of course, Okada forever.
Who are you rooting for?
I was all for both of the guys. wala.
I was rooting for Omega.
No, yeah, I was on Team Kenny.
Because I can see that people were supporting him, and I think it would have been a nice change for the system. But I guess they wanted to stick with Okada.
I was very pleased with the Naito win, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, I was not.
I like the junior heavyweight title match. Like, before the main event, that was my favorite match from the show. I just that was the first time I was watching Hiromu. Tana si Raulo siya.
Yeah, si John Sebastian. Napula buhok.
Ang ganda nga actually ng description online. It was one of the first, well, parang they described it as a strong style junior match, which it was because they were killing each other.
Yeah, from the opening, even before the opening bell, like that Swanton from Kushida, diba? To the outside. That was mad insane.
Tapos si Kushida sells like a champion.
Yeah,
he is not a champion anymore.
What else did I like? There are a lot of people who were pretty upset that Chaos won the tag titles.
I wasn't.
I found it funny. I just found the whole thing funny. I don't know. There's something about the Yano character, especially the way that he just acted out there and he just didn't give any fucks.
Yeah, but Ishii was there. And Ishii was like the best player there.
What else was worth talking about? Oh, we have to talk about the Tiger Mask match. That Tiger Mask match was also pretty fun. Way more fun than I thought it would be.
Did you guys watch English or
I watched
Japanese?
No, una English ang napanood ko because that was a live stream from Watch Wrestling, and then I downloaded the Japanese broadcast.
Ako na una Japanese, and then I had to switch to English
because si Corino was like saying na parang, oh, they might be known wrestlers.
And what I liked was they actually brought the seiyuu ng manager ni Tiger Mask sa anime. This is pretty awesome because, oh, I watched the anime and she's actually there.
The voice.
The voice.
And great touch.
It was something that they actually got to explain. Now, to be fair to the commentators, Corino was actually okay. He was bearable. It was Kevin Kelly who pissed me off.
Always, man. Like, you know,
the Japanese commentators in that match were actually really good because they knew the moves of the anime characters. They were calling it out, actually. Yung Darkness Driver na Tombstone, parang ako, nag-mark out ako sa pag-call ng pangalan.
Well, you watch the anime?
I watched the anime.
Oh, look at you. It was weird. I didn't expect Tiger Mask W to actually break out the Golden Star Powerbomb. Like, I didn't expect any homages.
It's a variation, diba? But yeah, he started with a Tiger setup, Tiger Bomb setup, and then did an extra lift for the Golden Star.
But before that, he also did the Golden Triangle Moonstone.
Yeah.
So that's what I found really funny. Parang, whoa, way to open the curtain for us.
It's fine. I think people are in on the fact that the Tiger Mask W is Kota Ibushi.
Hindi nga! Wait, hindi yung ano niya, yung triangle niya. Yung kay Kota, di ba?
Second row. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Sa kanya sa taas eh.
Parang gano'n kaya ni.
Kayong ganun. Nagulat ako na dark talaga si Tiger the Dark though.
Yeah, actually.
It's pretty racist.
Yeah.
So let's zoom out and look at the show as a whole. What was your favorite moment from Wrestle Kingdom 11? If you could like pick one.
Can I say the whole match of Okada and Kenny? That's pretty good match, man. As in, that's probably a lot of people are saying that's the best match they've ever seen. I've had better moments though, like kunwari Sean winning or Daniel Bryan winning or CM Punk winning. Pero this is pretty special, like the match as a whole. For them to follow, what was that, like a 5-hour show?
That was the fifth hour.
So, and they wrestled for almost an hour.
Yeah.
So that whole thing was great.
Choice ko, well, pretty much the same match. Pero the moment in the match na parang na pop yung eyes ko talaga is when na Rainmaker na and then Kenny kicked out. And then yung mukha ni Wakada parang, ano gagawin ko?
Spinning like, pile driver.
And then it took four. The fact that it took four Rainmakers to finish the match.
Is that the most Okada has had to do to finish an opponent?
He did the same with Naito, I think. Parang, was it Naito? Who was the second guy who kicked out?
Tanahashi was the first.
I think he did most with Tanahashi.
Three si Tanahashi ata.
Most Rainmakers? Or just most offense in general?
The most Rainmakers.
Hindi, this si Kenny kasi, he had to take two tombstones. Three!
Three tombstones.
Three, and one spinning, jumping.
Yeah. The king pile driver.
Terminator nga siya after that night.
Now, there's something... There's something to be said about the fact that we know actual people who were there to have witnessed it live. Camus isn't here because he
just got back.
Yeah, he just got back. Along with our friends Carlo and Joey and Gabe/Jack. They were there. I think their seats were like lower box equivalent.
Actually, they have pretty good seats. Medyo malayo sa ring, pero not too far.
Pasalubong ko pala.
Just a shout out.
Just reminding you.
Wala na pabalik na sila.
If there's one thing I enjoyed about Wrestle Kingdom, one thing that I've enjoyed over the last three Wrestle Kingdoms I've seen, it's that I always go in without the smart goggles because I'm not an NJPW smart. So I just enjoy it for what it is. Like, I don't know the politics. I don't know now, it's, say, Omega's time to win or it's Kushida's time to drop the title. I don't have any of that shit. So I just watch as a pure fan. And it's a very rare thing to appreciate given our line of work or given what we do, diba? So that was my biggest takeaway from Wrestle Kingdom. I had no smart goggles. I just enjoyed it purely as a fan.
That's good. I'm glad that you got to enjoy it as a fan because my favorite moment of the show was when people got to, you know, get breaks, you know, got bones thrown at them. When, for example, when Goto won the Never Open Championship, I actually low-key predicted that to happen because Shibata was throwing so much shit his way. And you also consider the fact that Shibata is a UK champion in Rev Pro. And I realize some things got to change around here. So, over the past year, you do have to notice that the NJPW is in a bit of a holding pattern. That's why I wanted Omega to win as well. I'm glad about for the show is when they decided to move forward and do something different with their wrestlers.
All right. So, any other thoughts that you want to share about Wrestle Kingdom? Just, you know, the entire experience.
I forgot to mention, some match, after the main event, did you hear the crowd? Did you hear the Japanese crowd?
Yeah, that was loud. That was exactly. really loud.
Pero, is this a NJPW show? But no.
But it's very it's a high ceiling venue.
Women were crying.
Yeah. For a crowd to get loud like that in that kind of acoustic, medyo kailangan malakas talaga sila.
So malakas ang pop.
Yeah,
probably one of the loudest pops I've actually gotten to watch.
And the main event played to everyone. Oh. So I've been saying like parang kahit smart ka or parang in the know ka, you did still appreciate it. I mean, Meltzer said it was like the best match he's ever seen. So that's like the biggest mark we know.
Meltzer's been around a while.
So the biggest possible compliment from anyone who covers this industry. So there, I think it's safe to say that all of us, our pick of the week is that main event.
Yes.
So we're gonna do away with that segment at the end of the program. Let's just get it out there right now. Okada versus Omega. If you haven't seen that yet, do yourself a favor. Set aside an hour of your life.
Hour of your life.
And just be balls out amazed. Now, let's get to what this podcast was originally supposed to be about. If in case you've been living under a rock, or in case you haven't been updated. PWR has been in a bit of a hole. Or in a bit of a in a bit of a pickle, as they like to say. May problema ang PWR. And that's why Renaissance.
May problema ang PWR. I think that's better. It's a better way to put it.
So past tense now.
Oh, I'd like to think so. Medyo past tense na siya.
All right. So that's in the past. PWR had a problem, and that's one of the reasons why the last show we had for 2016 was Suplex Sunday. I think one of the biggest questions regarding the status of the company heading into the new year was what happened for Terminus, bakit walang Terminus, what's going on? And I think some of these questions also came about as a result of a couple of releases that were announced on the website, pwrcentral.com. Of course, those releases are, well, one is Bruno Bernardo.
Yeah. And let's just get it out of the way. Bruno Bernardo got released because of very unethical behavior towards... Yeah. His stablemates and other people as well. So that it's completely unrelated to the problems that we're having.
All right. And the second release is absolutely related to the problems that we had.
100%.
As everyone knows by now.
Yeah. And that was the release of Classical Brian Leo, or as we'll refer to him afterward, his real name, Yusuf Mir.
Yes, Yusuf.
Right, so where do we even begin? Because let's get this out of the way first. This podcast is not meant to slander anyone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's what you guys do to inform people who are concerned.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are wondering what's going on. Naturally, just most of them.
Yeah,
but I do think there is also an obligation on the company's part to inform what happened, why. Certain things happen. Why certain shows did not happen?
Yeah. After all, a lot of people, understandably, were CBL fans to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, they bought his shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
They cheered for him when he came out. They would chant along with his pre-match promos, and people essentially knew him as one of the faces of the company.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why a lot of it was kept hush hush was because, I guess, to start off. There were a lot of unsettled affairs regarding him.
Yeah.
We actually, I think the company as a whole did not know what we're going to do with him while everything was happening. Like, we did not know kung if we're going to work with him or if he's going to stay, if he's going to go out, or are people just going to leave and make a new one? it dumating dun.
Yeah.
So, for a while, kaya hindi siya nagkaroon ng resulta to the public or hindi siya nagmanifest publicly was because of that. We absolutely did not know what to do with him.
Now, is it safe to say that we've had PWR has had issues before relating to certain personalities, certain people behind the scenes? But I think it's safe to say that this is the biggest issue.
Definitely, this is the biggest
to,
one.
You know, a behind the scenes personality in the company.
This is the biggest one.
Yes,
we've ever had.
So we have to start with I'll have to ask questions at the risk of sounding stupid because I know these things
for our listeners,
the panel it, man,
right? So yeah, I'll have to facilitate.
Yeah.
Let's start off with first, why was it not possible to talk with him? Like with the way that things happened, it comes across there was no communication.
Wait, first I think we have to ask the question: what happened to set these things in motion?
All right, I think that's appropriate. So let's go back to where it began.
Ito nakakatawa is because every time we tackle this issue, we don't know where to start because there's so many things that happen and then it's all on top of each other. But I usually start by explaining like this guy as a ring performer, he's okay, right? Like I personally, as a ring performer, I don't like working with him. That's one. Like
he's okay.
Yeah, he's okay. He's okay. He's not the best, but he's okay. Like on the mic, he's pretty good. Okay, I'm a mic guy myself, so I have to give him props. Pero like there are things that he does that annoy people, and there are things that he does in the ring that just like we tiptoe around na lang just to avoid like an altercation with him, because an altercation with Yusuf Mir is going to be a long discussion. Super long.
Yes. Simon and I can attest.
So that's how I establish things. You have to know that this guy, if there's an argument, if he doesn't get his way, he's going to browbeat you. And he's gonna unload like a 2-hour discussion over the phone, 3-hour discussion over the phone until you guys like agree to disagree, parang ganun. And I say that with air quotes, so parang ganun.
But yeah, you talk about ring performance, but a lot of the issues that relate to Yusuf go way beyond that. They extend to the business side of running the company. So, at what point did it become clear that as a businessman he was not fit to run PWR?
I think it's an easier question to answer, to pinpoint where it all went wrong.
Siguro, if we're gonna put a timestamp on it, and correct me if I'm wrong, JD, around Showdown, before Showdown.
For me, honestly, as part of the board, it was actually before that. But again, you know, again, arguing with him, trying to get answers from him, pretty much. Again, the browbeating and tired of everything and just let him do what he wants, which is also a fault on our part, but, you know, it happened. So, for me, it was actually around Manila Madness time.
Tagal na.
That was March. March of last year.
March or Feb. Something like that.
March. Yeah, I remember it's March.
Yeah, so around that time, he would have this organizer, air quotes again, that would handle shows. These shows, like the ones in Quezon, the one in Manila Madness, those were technically shows that people booked us for that we didn't put on ourselves. So again, he would be handling it. He would be sort of a project manager.
Yeah, and he had every right to do so because he was the president of the company.
At the time, So like, okay, you put on the show, just give us the details and everything as long as, you know, we get compensated. So when it comes to the show day in Manila Madness, there were like, 10 people.
Yeah.
And it was mostly media. And
like one or two paying fans, but it was mostly media.
Mostly media.
Not to mention that the venue was like a
dingy.
Like a dingy basketball court with people who are
who are being sheltered from a fire.
And like the organizers had them
step outside for
a while.
Who had them step outside? They were shooed out.
Were they?
I remember seeing
them. They were kind of shooed out.
Yeah, shooed out. So that nahiya ako.
Yeah.
Because like we were invading their space.
Yes.
Diba? So yeah, okay. So going back.
So going back at that point, I was already thinking, maybe we shouldn't go with this. For when I was thinking at that time, maybe we shouldn't go with this organizer again.
To clarify, how was getting booked through the organizer different from how we usually
run the shows?
Yeah.
When we run the shows, we pretty much know everything. Mm-hmm. We know what we're booking. We know how much we're paying and everything. But with the organizer, it was pretty vague.
Someone
how
would come to that person.
Very vague. Yeah. Very vague. Because I remember I had a conversation with that organizer before the show started. And I was looking at the venue around Manila Madness. And I was thinking, parang di tayo mag-wrestling. And then, immediately, sinabi niya, huwag na kayo magreklamo, parang ganun. Ganito talaga magsisimula tayo, ganyan. Bayad naman, parang ganun. So,
but not really.
But not really because I haven't seen a lick of that money until now.
Yeah.
And it's what, January, diba?
So yeah. Of next year, almost a year,
So with how those provincial shows were being booked, it was Yusuf talking to the organizer talking to the people who were booking us. So technically there was a middleman in between us and the ones who were booking us.
Yes.
Which was the organizer. So we would ask Yusuf for details, and at times he would get pissed off at us.
Yes.
For asking too many details.
For not trusting mga ganung klase. Like he did shell out terms na parang na-handle na niya or niya trust or parang a lot of things. A lot of discussion went through. Because I went through the same thing sa Batanes gig, which is another provincial show that PWR did. We went to Batanes. And the ring was there for 2 weeks, right? Before the show pushed through. And I was telling him, maybe get the ring back because we might get booked for another gig. And that, diba, and we can't accept that gig because, you know, the ring is in another province. And then he would say, no, it's going to push through. So I think the third week on a Sunday, it pushed through.
Yeah.
And I asked them, well, I asked them to supply like details, flight details and everything for the guys that are right. And he made sure that like the TF's been deposited and the flights have been, have been taken care of, which as we all know, did not. It was not taken care of.
Okay, let's backtrack a bit. Kasi
So
we're talking about provincial shows and we're talking about shows that were not being booked by PWR ourselves.
Yeah.
So as a talent, and this is something I'm going to speak of from personal experience, I always make sure that I have a contract whenever I get booked for events. Mm. So whether that be hosting or voice gigs, everything that I always have a contract. And so when I was actually approached to be booked for the Quezon show, my first concern was I need someone to sign my contract. I don't care how much I'm getting paid, basta merong amount na nakalagay. So let me ask, again, I know the answer to this question, but for our listeners' sake, were there contracts signed for the talents before they actually went out to perform at any of these shows?
Sa Quezon, there was.
As an individual talent contract?
No, not individual. It was for PWR as a whole.
Oh boy.
That's also messy pa rin.
They do it as a package thingy, which is... can be handled naman if the people who are, syempre, heading the PWR part is not shady. Diba?
But I think even from your experience performing for Comedy Manila, even if you're booked as a group, you still have your individual talent contract.
We do have a parang a collective thing, pero it depends ding on what kind of booking that we do. Like, kunwari, if we internally book it, I wouldn't have an individual one, but we would have like a list. And it was itemized on what kind of payment everybody's getting, and everybody would agree on it. And we would not push through with a show without everybody agreeing on it.
Right. So just to make it clear,
this guy's getting this one, Alex, and Red.
Yeah. All right. So was that the case with PWR at the time?
At the time, sa Quezon show, no, because it was the board na ano na nag-sign off. We would check it. Everything seemed okay. Because what would happen is they would book PWR as a show, and we would get an amount. So with that amount, we would cut it up and then we would give it to the boys who work the show mismo. And then sa Quezon show, it worked out. Everyone got paid. And then Manila Madness and Batanes happened and
you
can cuss, it's okay.
Yeah, they've been working informally and taking liberties with the contracts. Now sa Quezon, walang problema because everybody got paid. Pero I still have a problem we'll discuss later. Sa Manila Madness and sa Batanes, yun nga, walang contract. And until now, I don't think we can follow up anymore. But until like the dying days of Yusuf being signed as a talent or being part of PWR, that was one of the things that I was asking, like where are the contracts? Because I don't think there was. Or there may be some, pero I don't think it was a formal contract.
Well, there was a time na we about like sa Batanes, we would follow up. So where's the contract na mga ganun? Wala, nothing would be provided to us, nothing would be shown to us. He would just say it's being handled. So kami, obviously if your president says it's being handled,
you gotta trust him.
Right, but if let's say I'm a tito who's looking into the affairs of PWR, let's say I've had significant life experience, I will ask PWR wrestlers who are probably, we're young guys, but pwede kayo nag-perform. Why are you breaking your backs despite not having a contract, despite not having the security of getting paid?
Well, I think it's just taking advantage of the passion of that people just want to wrestle, which is... technically, the backbone of PWR. Just people who want to wrestle.
That was my reason.
It's kind of a paradox because anyone can answer. Actually, any fan can answer that question. It's kind of a paradox that you would willingly put your livelihood and your body and your well-being at risk out there just to do the thing you love. I mean, that's the thing. I guess maybe sometimes people took advantage of it. Maybe they didn't intentionally do it, but... you're kind of trained, as well as if you're a wrestler, you're kind of trained to look for that experience and I guess try to take it no matter how shitty it is, if that's the only thing you have in front of you.
Yeah, well, that's happened naman. like it always pops up in the entertainment industry when you see a person na parang they were willing to work for free because they want to do it anyway. And there's always this like business savvy guy or may pera na guy or who wants to make money out of it that would come up with something na parang would look good to people that have been like doing it for free. Like para, oh, you're not getting paid now. How about I pay you 2,000 for this show? So matutuwa ka na, di ba? 2,000 na yan.
Which is better than zero.
Well, better than zero, definitely. And a lot better than dito. It's like 2,000 pesos more. So, pero, in reality, he's bringing in like 100,000 by himself and everybody's getting 2,000. Alam mo yan? Parang, yeah. There are things like that na parang I feel like happened. We can't prove it because we're not in a position to investigate or hire a private investigator.
But I think like people like you and I who've done these events, we know for a fact that these things happen.
Like parang may events na parang alam kong kikikbakan lang, gagamitin lang ako para lang may kontrata, tapos tapatungan yung TF ko and things like that. And madaming ganun.
Pero, I've lost many bookings because of that.
Yeah, you won't
even believe. It's crazy.
Like ako parang ako basta yung amount na mapunta sa akin, maayos. Yun yung inaano ko. Pero yun nga, meron talagang mga times na wala na lang, okay, so agree ka dito 2,000 or agree ka dito 3,000. Pero hindi nila sabihin kung magkano yung makukuha nila. Which is, by industry standard, if you're booking someone, you get 30%. That's like a lot na. Because, you know, you're not really the one performing or breaking the back in the ring. Diba? So if you're just the guy, the middleman, 30%, okay na yun.
So let's go back to the issue na PWR had been booked for these events. And even until the Batanes one, which I think if you've... hung out with enough PWR personalities, or even if you listen to my promo at Renaissance, you would have heard Batanes.
Yeah, Batanes.
It's a pretty big deal within PWR. So, why was Batanes such a big deal?
Gotta revisit that.
No, I. That triggers you, JD, because he was actually part of the show. I got out. I got out.
I wasn't supposed to be in the show.
Oh, yeah, napilitan ka lang.
The thing is, I was PWR champion at the time, diba? And obviously they needed me on the show. I told them, no, I'm sorry, it's my girlfriend's birthday that weekend, so I wasn't supposed to go.
Yeah, you had work the next day.
And I had work the next day. So na push back yun yung 2 weeks, diba? Yung parang 2 or 3 weeks. So I was able to go na. So I said, okay, fine. So even though knowing na from past experiences na this might not work out, I was just thinking, oh, it's wrestling.
Yes.
I love wrestling. Why not? Ganon palagi yung mindset ko. Even though like, siguro around March or April or June, I was already kind of sick of dealing with Yusuf, but I had to do it so professionally. And upon knowing that,
moral high ground. Everybody was doing that around him. Like everybody was just taking moral high ground.
So yun, I was just thinking, okay, just keep trudging, and Batanes happened. So yun, okay. It's an interesting proposition. We get to go to Batanes, mini vacation, as long as we get back before work. So, the first thing, before we ever flew, I asked them una, ano yung flight details? And
because you need to get back.
Malamang.
And a lot of people needed to get back for their work.
Right.
Yeah.
So, he gave us yung flight papunta. There were tickets, legit tickets. We got there. So, I would keep on asking, saan yung return flight? Yung nangyari dun is, he wouldn't show us the return flight. He would just say na, it's being handled.
Oh,
tapos,
boy.
Nung sinabi niya to the point na, they will book the return flight daw in Batanes.
Kasi daw mas mura or something like that.
Like something like that, na mas mura, it's easier for them to handle. Kasi, on his word, sinabi niya, it was the government handling the tickets.
Yeah.
It was the organized... yung mga nagbubook sa atin, it was the one handling the ticket. So parang, okay, cool. So, when we got there, we had the show. So we asked them, where are the tickets? So when we woke up the next day, we were supposed to fly out the next day.
Yeah.
So
because the show was on a Sunday.
Saturday.
It was originally on a Sunday.
Tapos, I think you have to fly out because people got to work on a Monday.
Mm. And the show was moved to the Saturday, like 2 weeks after. So we were supposed to fly back on a Sunday. And when we woke up on that Sunday morning, bad news from his organizer, we didn't have flights home.
Oh, because they said your flight got canceled.
Apparently, flight got canceled. From what I remember,
it no was, flights to Manila, though.
No flights to Manila.
But if the flight got canceled, then it should have been rebooked.
Oh, oh. And the reason that they gave us was problems with tarmac or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that being said, dapat meron pa rin kayong return flight.
We were not rebooked. The next day, so yun, we decided, okay, sige, one day, let's have an extra day for vacation. Chill, chill. It was amazing. Now, people weren't irate. Well, there was one person who was irate. Had to fly back home again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, the next day, wala pa rin ang tickets.
Yeah.
So, medyo panic mode na lahat nun. Because we had to go home. We needed to be back for work, back for ano.
And while this was happening, it was me and Jim. We were talking and like, hey, did you hear about Batanes? Like, what? They're stuck there. So, kind of, oh, it's because of a storm or something?
Jim is one of the referees.
Yeah, Jim is one of the referees. And we parang everybody didn't know what was happening sa Batanes, but yeah, go on with your
so yun another day in Batanes. So they guaranteed us on that second day, they guaranteed us the next day on the third day may tickets na tayo. Guess what?
Wala
pa rin.
Okay,
so we were stuck there for 3 days na. So and we weren't getting in tickets. The reasons that they
and
were
you getting, were AWOL from work. Everybody was AWOL.
People had pets back home that needed to be taken care of. People had moms and dads and parents, friends, relatives, all very worried about them. And so on the third day, we decided na they didn't. No, they didn't have tickets. The organizer came to us crying. She didn't have. She didn't have money for the tickets. No one's gonna walang book flight.
Yeah, yeah. So ito yung controversy.
Oh.
This is where it is talaga. They said that they book return flights, diba?
They said na
they would book
the
it there.
Bookers, the ones who booked PWR would book there.
Yeah, so basically there is return flights. Tapos na cancel daw because of the tarmac thing.
Apparently.
And you can't get any other tickets daw. Pero yun nga, as we all know, if it's an airport issue, if it's a weather issue or issue na hindi related sa customer, you get rebooked by the airline, diba? That happens all the time.
Yeah, that's if they booked us.
That and then they shoulder pa yung titiran mo.
Yeah, accommodation mo and everything.
That's practice.
That's, because kasama yun sa insurance nila eh.
Right.
So, hindi talaga. So, we can come up to the conclusion. Kasi, ang nangyari was, on the third day, you were asked to shell out your own money
to pay for return flights.
Yun. Ito yung malupit dun. So, these guys are coming in sa Batanes, do a show, breaking their backs for a show. They weren't handled properly. They didn't get back in time properly. They missed work days and they missed whatever important things that they would have back at Manila. They weren't paid talent fees. And then, they were asked to shell out their own money to pay for their flights back.
So, talo ka pa?
Talo ka pa.
Talong-talo.
Because I've had gigs that zero.
Right.
Nagkaroon ako ng gigs na zero. Pero hindi pa ako nagkaroon ng gig na negative. In my whole decade of stand-up comedy,
yeah.
I've never had like parang, pumunta ka dito, bayaran mo ako 10,000. Parang ganun. So, that's really weird.
Right. So, this thing happens and is anyone held accountable?
Well, dapat si Yusuf. Because he was the one being tawag dun, siya yung nag-seal and deal on the PWR side.
Yeah. But was he held accountable?
This was, I think, where the suspension came from.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually. Pero at the same time, he promised reimbursements to the wrestlers 2 days after. Tapos hindi siya nag-deliver. Actually, one of the people who reimburses is me. Kasi yung ibang wrestlers, they don't have money.
Yeah.
So, and then ang consequence nun, ito pa. Ang consequence nun, kung wala kang pera, you'd be stuck in Batanes without accommodation.
Sure.
Walang pagkain, walang accommodation.
Basically, homeless.
Homeless. So, parang taong grasa ako dun until makahanap sila ng flight pa, sir, or something. Or makapagpadala sila ng pera. So, I think some of the guys were students. They didn't have money and it was like, what, 7,000, 6,000 per?
No,
five.
Which is a big deal if you don't have a monthly salary.
Yeah, exactly. So, I had to pay for 3 guys. I was in a radio recording. And I was about to enter and then they said na parang, yung producer late, okay lang pa mag-late, wait ka 30 minutes. Sabi ko, okay. And then that's when I called Jimmy, si Idol. we're just telling everyone's names.
Some of these people don't have their names anyway.
Yeah. So, tinawag siya and he was like, "Men, sa mga dito, ganyan," and he explained all the situation. And
so
I'm
yeah,
like,
Idol and Red are actually friends, guys.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh my God!
Oh,
what?
The kayfabe is broken.
Really?
I was calling kasi nung first day nangiinggit sila sa Batanes, "Oh, beach, ganyan, ganyan," so wala ako dun. So natawag ako dapat just to say, "Oh, ano, stuck kayo dyan. Walang kwenta." Bilang mamaya may parang pagkasagot ni Jamie, parang hindi siya pwedeng lokohin ng mood. Parang ganun. Parang sama talaga.
No one was at that point.
Yeah, that was the third. That was your last day. So, or second to the last day.
It was actually funny kasi nung second day pa nga lang, I was calling my mom to, "Can you book me a flight out?"
Yeah,
pero
yeah.
Inis ko, "Now if I leave these guys, anong mangyayari sa
akin?" Yeah, oh,
so
yeah.
Parang...
So...
Red and I were stuck in boot camp.
Yeah.
We young boy and sumama, diba? So we're kind of jealous. Javier. I was kind of jealous then that I didn't, you know, get to go to Batanes. I always wanted to go.
So you were in boot camp. Tapos I was saying, "Pang, let's Photoshop like kunwari someone dropped by." Then I Photoshop like Daniel Bryan sa boot camp. "Oh, Daniel Bryan stopped by." Parang fuck you guys in Batanes.
Yeah, pero in all honesty, maganda ang Batanes. Just at that point, medyo nainis
na kami. It was traumatizing.
Nakapakot talaga.
Yeah. So, Tinawagan ko siya, and then he explained the situation, and then he said na parang three guys don't have money, baka pwede ka magpadala kasi like my girlfriend can give us money pero konti lang, ganyan-ganyan, and other people are really trying to scrounge up money and a lot of people are at their limits now of giving money. So I was like, I was at Hip Productions where they record radio.
Kailangan ng
beer. And I ran.
Yeah, go.
And I ran to Makati Cinema Square, our old stomping grounds.
Hey.
And because I remembered there was a Western Union there. And I was in direct contact with Jimmy the whole time and he was like riding bikes to Western Union to get the money for me. So I sent like a amount of money to send three of our guys home, parang ganon, and then that was it. Parang so many people were affected by it. Now, syempre, I only agreed kung may reimbursement, and they promised it was like 2 days, but it wasn't. So
that was what promised. That was what was promised to the guys who paid for their own flights. Then 2 days.
Two days. So when 2 days came, they said checks bounced and they don't have the money. And then they said Sunday, but the only one who was paid on Sunday was me because I nagreklamo ako ng sobrang solid kasi inaway ko siya si Uso. But other people like si Vernice, Crystal. Crystal. Parang she needed the money, so I gave her part of my reimbursement. Mga ganong klase. So we had to like parang really just be parang brother up. Alam mo yan?
Yeah.
To get through the whole situation. And when were you paid, JD? And you paid for a lot of people.
I paid for 3 people plus me. So mga four. That's four,
four
people.
Four people.
How much is a ticket?
That was
home from
around 6.
Damn. So it's like 24,000.
Mga ganun.
Yung negative mo.
Yeah.
I was in so the hole for really so long.
Lucky. He was really lucky that, you know, some of you guys had that kind of money.
Yeah. So yung... I was paid. I was the last to get paid for tickets lang. Ha. This does not include talent.
Walang talent fee. We don't have the talent fee until now.
I was the last to get paid. I was paid last year around end November, early December.
My God. So the initial promise was 2 days, and then he gave like a date, diba? Like August 15.
Yeah.
Which he did not deliver.
Mind you, this show was in July. June.
June.
It was
end
in
of
June.
June, something like that.
Worst birthday month ever.
Anyway,
so yeah, it was in June. He promised us the payment for the at least reimbursement 2 days after. Didn't come. We talked to him. Sabi niya, August 15. Still didn't come.
Ito yung madala dun. Like, he promised dates, tapos hindi siya nag-update. This was what you're talking about, that he wasn't in contact at all.
Right. So,
this is where it started.
Can so, I say that? Yeah, no. Let's address the elephant first. Na, there was a point na he just could not be contacted.
Oh, wala. As in Facebook, Twitter,
was
people
silent.
Were like wall posting, including me. I was wall posting on his wall, trying to draw him out.
Right after the time Batanes happened, that was when we had an interview with Big Show.
Yes.
And he showed up, and we had no clue that was going on.
Yeah.
I think that was like the week after, I believe.
No, we only found Batanes. Out. We only found out that this shit was happening the day after the Big Show interview.
And I remember almost... I remember not being sure that he was gonna make it to the Big Show interview.
No, we weren't sure na pupunta siya sa Wrestling God Stadium.
No. I'm parang hindi rin siya, medyo shaky din siya going to the Big Show interview.
I don't remember that. I just know
it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad as the next episode of the Wrestling Gods, the Money in the Bank episode. But I can tell that there was a hard time getting in touch with him.
I saw him. That's a big show.
Yeah,
and he was already shaky. You know, something was up, and that's when he told me that parang the board decided to suspend him.
He also told me that day.
That was like parang the punishment. Because to me, inisip ko parang, why don't you pay the money? Maybe that's your punishment, you know? Like,
and all the time, I thought that you guys stayed in Batanas because you liked it there. Not legit, that's what I thought. I said, nobody said anything, yeah. Right?
I thought so too. That's why malaban nga ng inggitan, di ba?
Oh my god.
No, even after nung hindi pa sila umuwi, like hindi pa nakakwento, I thought you guys were just living it up there.
We were. Until, alam mo yun, the fact of the matter is na after we went home, we were just happy to be home.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So
there was that time.
Nakalimutan namin na, we had to pay for our own tickets home. No, we're just home. Thankful. I had to, when I got to the airport that morning, I had to take a taxi all the way to work. Tapos dumiretso ako trabaho. Because I was gone for 2 days.
Yeah, and
two and a half days.
Some of the guys stayed in the south area because that's where the airport, that's where I knew.
Right.
And I met up with some of the guys and we were like, I think we drank. And it was like Ralph, Basti, John Sebastian. Idol. And some of them like they were just ranting. Crystal, I think, was there then. The what happened and everything. And there was a lot of things to take in. And it was hard to do it over the phone. No, nasa Batanes sila to call home because sobrang walang signal.
There was no signal, no Wi-Fi.
And I think the gravity of how shady the deal was, I realized it when he was telling me that day in a big show, meet and greet, he was telling me that he had to borrow the money to pay off some of the tickets na hindi pa niya binabayaran ng book at that time.
So let's just get one thing clear. The whole Batanes gate was booked. There was no paper trail, was there? Because it doesn't appear that there were any contracts.
Yeah.
There was no return flight home, so it doesn't come across na meron talagang kontrata.
No.
I'm going to say now na I think they were trying to go for something na hindi sulat because some of them was probably going to get a big payday. So they're trying to get rid of paper trail para hindi sila masilip, di ba? But at the same time, it backfired on them because wala rin sila nakuha because some other guy thought of the same thing. And siya yung nakakuha ng payday.
So all of this happened, and we get to Shawdown, which is the last weekend of July.
Yeah.
And Classical Brian Leo, I use this with air quotes now, was booked to face Sandata.
Yes.
At the show. The match doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
And the kayfabe explanation is that he was attacked backstage by the Royal Flush.
Yeah.
But there was also a real life element that went into it.
Yes.
So what happened? Why did he not appear at the show?
Before we touch onto this, para lang ma-realize nyo, ano pa ang happened. The Sunday before this, the boot camp graduation show happened, which is like an internal show that we do for people who are ready to be booked.
Exclusive.
So, exclusive.
Hey.
To the people. That it's you're not missing much. that was a pretty good, pretty good boot camp. So parang recital yun. And Classical Brian Leo is always booked there, and I booked him to be in that show. And then parang he wasn't there, so sabi niya may sakit daw siya or whatever. But I remember telling him to put over someone, and then at the same time sa Shawdown, I found out about his suspension, so I told him that, well, I mean, you're going out anyway, so might as well put someone over. So I, dapat, ang mangyayari, you gotta put over Sandata. Diba? And that was supposed to be a big, big deal, because, you know, it's gonna push Sandata somewhere that he has never been. It's like a big match thing. Diba? So it's like gonna be like an upset win, sana. But, motherfucker, comes in, and I know you. We were like together, and he comes in and he's like hyperventilating backstage. Hindi siya makahinga, hindi niya daw maramdaman yung legs. By the way, he was late.
Yeah,
he was super late.
It was third match na, third match in, I think. So he was super late. Came in hyperventilating. Alam mo yung basically, he came in wanting to work the show to put Sandata over. In a in a state na he could not possibly work in.
Yeah.
So kami, we were backstage saying na, yeah, he was trying, he was saying na, oh, I'm gonna work, I'm gonna put Sanada. I mean, no, just, you'll put both of yourselves in harm.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Why are you thinking that?
We were, why would you do that? Kasi, di ba, you know, di naman tayo super galing na wrestlers to work hurt. Di ba? And so, there's no way, no possible way he could be booked.
Mm.
And I think we were getting ready for our segment at that time because we were already in Gorilla. Yes, we call it Gorilla. we were near the curtain na, and I was like in my shawl, naka-shawl na ako, and like I was getting ready to be ready, mahaba. And then I noticed you were like fighting with him, and I told you like, JD, stop. Like, we've got to focus on our promo, diba? And that's the kind of guy he is. Like, parang sobrang disruptive niya. He would attract attention to himself. He knows that we were supposed to get ready for a whole show. And then he would draw in everybody's attention. Like, I think Ken Warren was stretching backstage and then he would, like, pass out in front of him, ganong klase. So he had to be, like, held up by Ken Warren to a chair or something like that. I don't know, man. Parang it's sobrang papansin lang.
Right, so all of this happens at Shawdown and, long story short, he doesn't perform.
Doesn't perform.
Right, and after the show, he's officially suspended.
Yes.
And okay. Fun fact then about Shawdown, the ring just arrived that morning. No, well, it arrived from Batanes around 2 days before pero we only got the ring that day.
Yeah, because they had, parang, they just left it at customs.
Sobrang nag-amazing race ako nung araw.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, Shawdown happens and Yusuf is effectively suspended. What happens after that? Because between Shawdown and Renaissance, there were 3 months with no PWR events. What happened in that time and why was there no PWR show until October?
The PWR after Shawdown, actually, I'd like to say it na parang it was like a time, parang a break from all the Yusuf shit. So parang everybody was like parang settling in and everything. Parang we actually had fun because wala na siya. Alam mo yun? Pero we were slowly like realizing the reality na babalik siya. And it would suck and nobody knows what would happen. So at that time, unreachable siya. Hindi siya... This was the time na wala pa yung reimbursements ng ibang tao. Most of the people haven't been reimbursed. Most of the people haven't been paid. Well, until now, wala pang talent fee. So at this time, there was nothing. Tapos you can't follow up on him kasi wala siyang phone. Wala siyang, which is the reason for wala siyang phone is because binato daw niya because he was having a tantrum. That is an actual quote. I was having a tantrum and I threw it and it broke. Something like that. Verbatim na yun. Not semi-verbatim na yun.
Okay, this song do impression.
Yeah, but that was a good Yusuf. Everybody does a good
all night, yes.
We hear so much of Yusuf that we all do a good Yusuf impression. Tapos hindi siya ma-follow upan. So everybody was just like, you know, they have parang Jimmy had a vacation somewhere na kailangan niyang umutang for money because parang yung money na kinakautanan niya sa Batanes, he already gave it, parang mga ganong klase. So it affected people's lives. And him was invisible. Parang wala siyang contact with anyone.
Right. And we were saying that he almost didn't show up to a Wrestling Gods taping.
Yeah, we were actually scared because on the morning, even on the morning of, diba, we were texting each other, is he going to show up?
It turns out he was actually there before we were.
Yeah. And I think that taping was the last we would see of him until several weeks, months even. No? Not to interject too much on your story, but like this is it's a great example of number one how close the wrestling community is.
Yes,
it's a very tight knit community. It's very small.
It's very small. Yeah.
Second, how Yusuf was at the hub of a lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was very much involved with the Fox show. He is involved with PWR. He was managing relationships left and right.
Yeah.
And the moment that he went incognito, all of these relationships were also affected.
Yeah.
So, not only was it damaging to PWR as a brand, but it also damaged all the other people with whom he worked.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, let's take off from there. August, September, October, leading into Renaissance. I think all of these things that happened, that was the inspiration behind that pipe bomb like promo.
Yeah.
And I had to clear it with you guys because I wanted to ask, okay lang ba that we bring up this shit, given that one, there wasn't much context to work on. But two, we had to make an impact. And kailangan may mapag-usapan sila when they start asking questions about that prompt.
Yes.
At that point, I pretty much didn't care anymore what anyone said.
Yeah. When pretty much parang Yusuf left, or he was suspended at that time, parang things shifted. So things were handled very differently. Like in training, because before, he made himself head trainer, diba?
Or he made himself he was one of the head. I was head trainer. He is like one of the top trainers.
Yeah, he was like
there, you were there every Sunday.
Yeah, but he was there like he wasn't even on time.
Yeah, that's true.
Like all the time.
And so he was supposed to be the first part of the training.
Oh.
But he had a reason for that, but like there was a reason.
Come on.
I'm saying this in jest and with a bit of irony, but there was a reason he claimed why he was always late to training.
I believe it was because I wanted to know how they would treat me. Something
That was for the new boot
camp. For the fresh boot camp.
For the fresh boot camp, he texted me. Now I'm asking, are you still going to start the drills? Because he was the conditioning coach at the time. So sabi ko, malamang, you start off with conditioning.
That's what we all did.
Honestly, as a wrestler, I hate conditioning. Fuck conditioning.
Yeah, but you would still do it. Yusuf would just drill sergeant everyone.
So parang, yeah, so I asked him, because boot camp starts at 10. It was 11, around 10:45, 11 na. So I texted him, are you still coming? Should I start without you? He said, no, don't start without me. Because I know I'm late, but I want to see how... This is semi-verbatim. I want to see how they treat me, like, when I come in. So, at that point, inis ko, is it all for your ego? Or
it's just narcissism. That's pretty much it. Kumbaga, he's actually late, pero he chose to have, like, a narcissistic reason to substitute his actual tardiness.
So, there's that. And then, just going off the list, there's this issue about booking talent from outside PWR.
Yes.
Because if you remember, if you've been following PWR through 2016, there was supposed to have been a match with Shaukat
of Malaysia,
against...
MYPW.
Against Peter at Revolution
X. Yeah.
That doesn't happen as well.
That doesn't happen.
But that came about as a result of in connection Yusuf with Malaysian Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
So, Shaukat was not the only foreign talent who was supposed to be booked at a PWR show.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was another one.
To give a background on this, this was me. I was starting to work as a consultant primarily on development of characterization and booking and some business, whatever. So like all around consultant. But I was a creative consultant for booking. And then... This issue came about when Yusuf came in and he was saying that, all right, we're booking two guys in Revo X.
Yes.
Yeah, Revo X. So, at that then on, as for me, sorry, I didn't like it because it would not only be costly, like monetary-wise, because we're going to have to pay for their flights and everything. These guys are not draws. I mean, they're probably draws there. They also came from like a grassroots promotion. So if we had the money, it would be great because it's like sharing experiences and everything. Pero on a monetary standpoint, you're taking out ring time from our local guys to bring these two guys who are less of a draw than the local guys. So he's gonna be booked. Shaka's gonna be booked against Peter. Okay, so let's set aside that match first, and then he was booking someone else. See Greg Glorious. Yeah. So see Greg Glorious asked for a talent fee, which is tama naman. If you're a wrestler, you ask for a talent fee,
especially if you're going abroad.
Yeah, especially if you're going abroad. So I think what we agreed upon is just parang, okay, let's just find a way to get cheap flights for these guys and a sponsor for their accommodations. Para hindi tayo masyadong malupit yung shoulder natin. Pero this guy, Greg Glorious, is asking for a fee on top of that. Like, fine. Okay, pero can you just tell him na parang wag muna or something? Like, parang he's asking like, sabi natin $100 US. So, $100 US is about 5,000 pesos. Okay? Kaso, nasabi ko na yung ano dito. Okay, so, generally, we pay a very lesser amount to our local wrestlers. As in like, 10 times less. Okay? So, Kung bayad, kung may bayad, di ba? Yeah. Parang ganun. That's why we have a backstage battle cry called Cero Sueldo. It's because we do this for free. We break our backs for free because we love wrestling. Yun, it's all passion. So, but pero if there's money to be thrown around, that's the standard fee, right? So, yes. This guy is asking for 5,000. So that's 10 times the more that we pay our local guys. So, obviously, hindi pumayag. Okay, fine, go. Hindi tayo papayag. So, I thought parang hindi tayo papayag completely. And then, like, the next day, Yusuf comes in the thread. And he says, all right, book Greg Glorious in this PHX gauntlet that we're having. Book Greg Glorious in the gauntlet. And then, because I lowballed his fee. And I told him, like, what do you mean lowballed his fee? And then he was proceeding talking to another booker. Tapos, nag-uusap na sila about booking. But I kept messaging how much, like, hey, Yusuf, how much? And then he said, I negotiated to half, so it's not $100 anymore, it's $50. I told him, do you understand that you're paying this guy five times the amount of what you're paying your local guys? Which, by the way, hasn't been paid for ng matagal na. Diba? So, these guys are like parang, these guys who are breaking backs for you, establishing the local scene, some of them are going to set aside ring time, get lesser pay for this guy who has absolutely no bearings on local scene, and he's coming in and you're actually happy that you've lowballed the guy and paying him 2,500 pesos. That's five times. Diba? That's parang hindi niya magets. So I told him, if this happens, I'm going to walk out. As a wrestler, I'm not going to perform for someone kasi I think I have more traction than this guy here. So here, if I'm getting here, yeah, like Philippines. So if I'm gonna get five times lesser, diba, this is bad practice. I'm not gonna support this kind of practice. That's how big the situation is. So dun nagets nila, like the rest of the bookers got it. Pero at the start, hindi nila magets. It had to take for me to walk away. To threaten to walk away for them to realize that what they're doing is bad. So, ganun ka amateurish si Yusuf in handling their own people.
And that won't be the first time that there would be talk of people walking out
because
of the unprofessionalism. I guess for this conversation to push forward, you have to fast forward to Yusuf actually being held accountable in front of the boys and the girls. I was there at the meeting because it was a company-wide meeting.
Yeah.
So everyone was involved from talents to on-screen, on-stage personalities to the crew, anyone who cared enough to show up. And I think this is something I can speak for myself because I was there. There didn't seem to be any hint of remorse on his end.
Yeah, no.
From the way that he carried himself, to the way that he sat, to the way that he to the way that he talked to people, there was really no hint of wanting to apologize and to make up for what had happened. So, what happened for it to come to that, and what was the resolution?
You mean at the actual
for it to go to that meeting?
Yes.
For it to get there. That's my story.
Yeah.
So remember when I said earlier in the podcast na I was the last one to get paid? So yeah, and I met up with him. I got paid.
In full?
In full.
Okay.
Thankfully, in full.
But at this point, there was already a lot of tension and apprehension between the two of you. So how did this go about?
Well, oh, we're going there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No. That's exactly
you're talking about tension between CBL and JDL.
No, I'm talking about tension between Yusuf Mir and Mark Avellana.
Okay, let's go there. I'll give you this.
Juicy.
Okay, as a fresh new talent coming in, the only thing that you would hear from Yusuf Mir is how JDL is always like para show off, a person that doesn't deserve to be champion, and he's glad that he was the one who took the championship away from him. Erevo X. He made like a parang like a group that was very anti JDL and that involved Mayhem Brannigan. For some reason.
That's some petty shit.
Yeah, that's some petty shit, man. And then, even until like the booking leading up to your redemption story sa Revo X, he was like, no, let's not give him I don't want to give him the belt and everything. And they were like, what? He's like popular and everything. To the point na, and that would lead to like a 2-hour conversation. And I would just say, yeah, whatever. Parang bahala ka na and everything.
Were there any principles from British wrestling that came into that?
There were a lot of principles. In wrestling.
So before we get sidetracked, let's go back. Let's go back
so
to how
Yusuf Mir has a lot of animosity towards JDL. Even the way he trains. And this bad trip, kasi JDL trains the guys. He's there before 10 o'clock. He would train everyone on every Sunday. Every Sunday to, like, bihira siyang mag-absent. And then Yusuf, as a trainer, would be very late and very parang sobrang tamad mag-practice match and everything. And I'm not even just putting over JD here. It's just like telling the truth as a boot camper and as a guy who went through the system and came out.
I've never seen him do a practice match. Actually, never.
Like, bihira. Sobrang bihira. Yeah.
Okay, so that's been established that there was inherent tension between yourself and Yusuf.
Yeah.
So you have a face-to-face with him where he's able to give you the money.
Yes.
So what happens?
So what happened was, I got the money and I was about to walk out na. So, but then, again, apparently he wanted to talk pa, so sige, let's talk. I was with some of the boys, I was... sina Jimmy, you know, and besides, I was with some of the boys.
You don't have to name them, it's fine.
So
you don't have to implicate them.
I asked him, what happened? Why did you go radio silent again? Sira yung ano, sira yung phone niya.
Somebody advised him not to talk to us, something like that.
Parang, yeah, someone advised him not to talk to us, and then he said, weren't you updated? Kasi he would have this one contact person lang. Only one absolute contact person na made up din contact. And I'm not blaming that person na made up siya contact because I know the situation, I know the everything.
Terrible situation.
Yeah. Pero yun, let's leave it at that. So, talking. So, wala, medyo it got to the point na I was calling him out na no, with all the practice he's been doing, he was unprofessional and got to the point I called him a piece of shit.
Which is not even anything compared to what he did.
And then he slapped me in the face.
Yes, he slapped. Like,
just a
slap. After that slap, natawa ako, I'm like,
Like, not even a hard slap?
He tried to make it a hard slap.
Why would you slap?
Yeah, and then, you know, the funny thing was it was in front of people and everything. So I just let it go because I already got my money. I wanted to walk out of there. So yun, it got to the point and I asked him, I was like, okay, if you want to fix things, just show up on Sunday. I promise no one's going to give you any shit for anything because that was what he was scared of, though. Because he was being slandered. He was being ganon.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, you were radio silent.
Yeah, what do you think what we're going to think? Oh, no, we completely trust him.
Well, he's not running away.
We can't really trust with you for 7 months out.
No, I find it funny that there's this fear of consequence when you willingly took part in something that took money away from people.
Exactly.
Or that destroyed people's trust in you. Because let's call a spade, people did lose their trust in him after these incidents.
Yes.
So having all of these things happen, it's amazing to me that he doesn't... there is still this refusal to face the music.
I think there is something wrong with him, because I think you guys would know better. That I believe that he doesn't actually believe he's at fault.
How old is he?
22? 24? 23?
I don't know.
He's my
brother.
How old
am I? He's a year younger than me, so 23.
Oh, 23.
No, he's a batchmate of my brother in the South of Bell. So my brother is now 24. He's turning 25 this year.
So, mga 24, 23. Yeah.
Right. So, you're a young adult and you've got responsibilities, diba?
Yeah.
At this point in your life, you've got some form of responsibility.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you're supposed to have this concept of owning up to consequences.
Yes.
Because of your actions. These are things that none of us actually got to see.
Yes.
Mainly because
he said he would, though. He said he would, like, I owned up to my consequences.
But if we fast forward to the meeting, to that internal meeting, if I could just bring up some of the things that happened.
Yeah.
One of the things that happened was he was being asked who was accountable or who was supposed to be accountable for Batanes, for Badness, for the talent fees that were left unpaid. And he said that it wasn't his.
Yeah.
It wasn't his accountability. Or when the issue of PWR's taxes not being paid, was brought to light.
Yeah.
He also said na it was not his responsibility, but that of the finance officer or the treasurer. But when it was brought up, but you're the president, so you're supposed to be on top of that.
No, I believe I blatantly asked, what were your responsibilities as a president?
Right.
And then he said, like walking into a trap, like a baby, he said, to oversee everything that, every kind of, action or deal or whatever. And then, Everybody was there. Everybody heard that, like, to oversee everything.
We heard that like 5 times.
Yeah, so oversee everything.
he liked to stress that part.
So parang then we asked like then parang we asked again like parang so as a president, don't you think you're supposed to be accountable? Then he was like, no. I was like, what? I'm so confused.
Yeah, it was a very confusing time. Like, yeah. Eto, inga, back from my point of view, it was very confusing.
You were
confusing.
There, so you can say
I was there. Oh, it was very confusing to see all of this go down. And I guess props to everybody who was aggrieved because everybody kept their cool. There were no punches thrown. At least none that I saw firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I know for a fact that there were tasers in the building that could have been deployed at any time. Yeah. But it didn't have to come to that. And I guess it says a lot about people's restraint or of people's capability to hold back. Whether it was taking the high road or fear of greater consequence. But it's really just mind-boggling to me how all of this had come to that.
Like I said, everybody was taking the moral high road. Talaga. Everybody was taking the moral high ground with him. It's like more of like parang... It's not even... It's ridiculous how people are that ethical around him. Kasi like if I got slapped across the face, parang yun ang papakita din. Baka, you know, like parang... I'm pretty sure I would have done something.
So, Suplex Sunday and Renaissance Pass.
Yes.
And he was at neither show.
Yes.
And after that meeting, yung resolution was that he would stay away from the company.
Yes.
Right? That was the resolution coming out of that
meeting. He wouldn't be president anymore.
Mm. Okay.
Nor he would own it.
Right.
Own the company, yeah.
So, is this still on paper? Kasi, to my knowledge, he is still on paper as one of the board members.
I'm not entirely sure where the process is at, but I'm pretty sure.
You want me to?
Yeah.
For now, so diba, you raise up the taxes. For now, the taxes issues are being handled. So once that's done, finoward na actually namin yung minutes of the meeting na where it will be done on paper. I still have to follow up again, but it will be done on paper na he will be removed. Wala na yung shares niya yung from the company. He won't be president anymore. He won't own it. So that's the only thing. Now, after the taxes issue, that's the thing that the company is working on right now.
So, when that happens, that effectively just formalizes something that's already been in effect.
Mm. Yes.
Because by virtue of having released Yusuf Mir from PWR, his connection to the company has been severed.
Wala na.
So, formality na lang itong whatever happens next.
Yes.
All right. So, if there's anybody who's listening who's wondering, okay, wait, so nabaon sa taxes ang PWR? The answer is yes, it did happen.
I don't know what we're gonna call it, but it was because of neglect by Yusuf. That's why we couldn't proceed as a company to do that supposedly annual show that we do in December called Terminus.
Yeah. And you didn't even know there was a BIR factor until that happened.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Whew, that was a great day.
There was like coming out na parang okay, Batalis issue is almost closed. Parang marapit na makaraos. All this shit is gonna be put behind. Oh wait, no, we have to pay this now because Yusuf is an asshole. Alam mo yun? So irresponsible asshole siya. He didn't do the things. Parang I think I heard one of the board members say na parang he was assigned specifically to file our shit, which was not really a lot. Like, parang alam, you just have to do some paperwork, I guess, or you just have to talk to an auditor or something like that.
So he's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So parang you're supposed to do like this really simple process that every adult with a business goes through, and he didn't do it. He just merely said, "Oh, I have people handling it," but not really because he doesn't have anyone in his life. So wala talagang that put us behind a lot. Well, not a lot to some people, but it was inhibiting enough for us to proceed with the normally scheduled shows.
All right, so Terminus doesn't happen. It's January already. And
yeah.
I think this is the perfect time to bring up the fact now. We have a lot of events on our calendar for January.
Yes.
So we have to start off with the show we've been plugging on social media, PWR Live, Bagong Yugto. That's happening January 29, last Sunday of the month.
Yes.
But even before that, we already also have some events that we're mounting. For PWR.
Yes.
So let's start with the January 19 event.
Yeah, so January 19, if you want to see wrestlers do a talent show, pretty much. If you want to see Miguel Rosales sing in a band.
He's an awesome singer, by the way.
Yeah, awesome singer. It was really weird. He actually requested to open the show. So Miguel Rosales is going to open the show. I think we tentatively call him the Rebo Show. Mm-hmm. It's basically a fundraiser for PWR. We're going to put on a stellar show for you guys. I will be there doing stand-up comedy and giving love advice. A lot of special guests have been booked, agreed to help the show. It's going to be fun. For any wrestling fan out there, I'm telling you, it's going to be great. It's what, like 300? I think.
Yeah.
At most, Matalino Street. That's where Kowloon House is. So, going to be January 19, I think it's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
So, please go and support PWR. All the proceeds will go to producing our future shows.
Matalino Street, UP Village.
Yeah.
So, there's that event. I think there's another... There is going to be another fundraiser that will take place like the day after Bagong Yugto.
Yeah.
The Royal Rumble viewing party, which...
Is returning.
And it won't just be the Smart Henry people working on it. The Smart Henry will still be related, but it will be primarily a PWR project for this year's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So we're still ironing out the details, but if you've been attending our viewing parties, you may have an idea where we plan to hold this.
Yeah.
So unlike in previous years where you can just show up, order a plate of wings, order a beer, and you can catch the entire Rumble, you're going to have to pay an entrance fee for this one. And I know it's a bit of a hassle. Pero kailangan eh, because at least on our end, we're trying to make ends meet here in PWR.
Just think of it as supporting both for international wrestling and local wrestling. So you're
just hitting support two birds. Wrestling.
Yeah, support wrestling.
Please support wrestling.
Hitting two birds or one bird in one stone.
Yeah. Also in line with this, I think we might as well address that in the fact that we also had to sever ties with Yusuf related to the wrestling.
We already addressed this like on last month.
Yeah, on Twitter. So yun,
sarap lang i-address it.
This actually happened. The actual severing of ties actually happened a month before he faced the PWR company as a whole, right?
Yeah.
It was our own. I guess you better tell the tale as well.
I basically reached out and asked if we could talk.
Mostly to fire him.
Yeah, mostly to fire him, but partly to settle things, just make sure there were things said back and forth.
Yeah.
That were delivered through other people. And we just wanted to make sure we heard everything from the horse's mouth. And on top of that, there was also the issue of just the unreliability. It just became difficult. The PWR people were having a hard time contacting him and working with him. And the Wrestling Gods was always meant to be a project that brought the community together.
Mm. Yeah.
And if we had a personality that wasn't even polarizing, just someone who drove people away, then that was counterproductive to the cause.
And we also didn't know if he was going to show up. Since, as we mentioned already, there was radio silence and because he broke his phone.
Yeah. So practicality-wise, it just really became difficult to maintain that working relationship with him. So we had to come to the decision that it might be time to move in different directions with regard to the show. So regarding the show, it will come back in time for the Royal Rumble. And
for more than that.
Yeah, more than that, there will be more attractive people in his seat.
Wow.
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 Sino kaya to?
Wow.
Next time tao bigla?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Attractive people.
Attractive.
More attractive people of the female kind.
Oh! Very nice.
Mm. Wow, are we dropping that bomb already?
Just that bomb. Just that one bomb.
You said there was another bomb. Like, there's a smaller bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But could drop that one first.
But there.
Don't drop the smaller bomb.
So that's something you might want to get excited about related to the Wrestling Gods. But let's bring it back to the whole state of PWR, because I guess you can call this a state of PWR address.
Yeah. The Yusuf Gate scandal.
We actually call it SOPAS.
Oh really?
SOPAS.
State of the PWR. So yeah, PWR right now, we're stable. If you're wondering, yes, we will be pushing through with the show. We won't be canceling this one. So with the help of the fundraiser, hopefully, we would be able to do more shows for you guys in the future, because the only reason that we're doing this, well, one of the main reasons that we're doing this is because we love wrestling.
Yes.
We know you love wrestling.
Yes.
So, we just wish and ask from the bottom of our hearts that you help us bring wrestling to you. And never know, things might happen, wishes might get granted.
Yeah. These shows cost a lot to produce. Like, we're booking wedding reception venues. We're doing that shit. So these are very, very expensive to produce. Not to mention, like, the manpower it has to, and coming from a grassroots company with barely any profit. So, please do support us. And we're telling you, wala kaming bubulsahin dito for sure. Tumatawa yun, as if na parang ang ano talaga yung ano, ang sleazy talaga yung dating. But yeah, and for all those people who are missing classical Brian Leo, let me just tell you this, that I was one of the guys who were telling everyone na he'd still be welcome to wrestle if he would have handled things properly. Pero it was too much. Things were getting toxic. So we had to cut ties with him. And come on, guys. You're going to forget about him in a while. Don't worry.
And to address a few questions then about PDR Live Bagong Yuto. No, we will not be having the Path of Gold Path of Gold tournament in this show.
Match. Path of Gold match.
Path of Gold match. Yeah. We will not be having it in this show, but pretty soon we will be having it. Yeah, don't worry. We know you guys love that match.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason why, and I think since it's Bagong Yugto and everything, it's time to break some ground. So it's high time to turn the page on PWR. And is there really anything else but that should be addressed? Like any lingering questions that you think have to be answered?
So ano ginagawa mo ngayon since wala ka na sa amin? At least nandiyan pa yung general manager job mo, di ba?
Yeah.
Everyone knows now isn't paid.
Way to shit on ourselves.
I'm not ashamed, actually. Are you guys ashamed?
No,
I'm not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed for you guys.
Like, everybody was, when they tell me, kumikita ang parents, and no, it's a hobby. And then people always saying, na parang, grabe naman, ganyan, ganyan. Well, if something is worth doing, you just do it. Like, sa comedy naman, hindi naman ako binayaran simula.
Yeah. Comedy Manila didn't make money overnight.
Yeah, it didn't make money overnight. So, what is now my profession is used to be also a hobby.
Right.
So, darating yan.
Alright.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you want to just like shit on Yusuf for like 30 more
minutes? No. We're not doing that here.
Well, for those who,
you don't know?
No.
You should know.
Before I get to that, for those of you who watch Wrestling Gods and think he's the odd man out, well, congrats. He's literally now the odd man out.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. We just want to invite you to keep supporting wrestling, like what JD said earlier. Bagong Yugto happens January 29 at I Academy. Doors open at 5, tama ba?
Yes.
Yeah. And there are already ticket packages. You can email pwr.tickets@gmail.com or you can check out the Facebook page.
facebook.com/phwrestlingrevel.
Everything is there. Everything is there. And then the fundraiser on January 19th, that's a Thursday at Mo's in Matalino. That's going to be a lot of fun, honestly. If things go well, I might be hosting that. So that should be a lot of fun as well.
There are promo battles, chop contests,
drinking
contests. Drinking games. Yeah. With the wrestlers.
Everything you can think of.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then the Royal Rumble viewing party on January 30, Manila time. So that's going to be a Monday morning. And hindi pa naman daylight savings time. So the show will start at around 8.
Oh my God.
8 a.m. It's not too early like WrestleMania.
Yeah. Grabe, WrestleMania was like 6?
5. I had to wake up at 5:30.
Christ.
Yeah. So there.
With the East Coast, ne?
Yeah. So there, that I think that covers everything. That we wanted to talk about, things that we wanted to address.
Well, I guess other people have other drives, but
yeah. And I guess if there will be any complaints from anyone, na parang napaka-bias naman, napaka-slanted naman ng podcast for doing this. I guess this is also our time to say na every story is always going to be biased. There is always going to be some slant, and on our end, coming from the company, coming from our point of view as talents and as members of that company, this is our side.
And I think the evidence and the facts kind of outweigh whatever feelings you might get about us sounding like we're biased or anything. Because this happened, this didn't happen, shows didn't happen, people lost money.
And maybe to make things fair, then classical Brian Leo, aka Yusuf Mir, as a ring performer. Was pretty decent, man. He was actually part of one of the best matches that happened in PWR with the man to my right here, is JDL and Rafi Mubayashi. And
said his real name.
Yeah. What? So parang he's good on the mic. Parang there are like a lot of things na parang, you know, a lot of things wrong with him, I guess. But overall, he was a decent performer, and I was one of the guys who told everyone that maybe we could actually use him pa rin. Even after all this shit has hit the fan. Pero wala, he chose to be very uncooperative, and until now, until like the time that he was released, he was very uncooperative, and he still refused to reply to me, mga ganong klase, which is, I was the only one who was defending him. So parang medyo hassle lang na it has come to this, but this is the reality of things, guys.
All right. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, if you want to send any comments, questions, violent reactions, you can find JDL over here at Senorito JDL. It's at Comedy by Red. That's your shoe Twitter handle.
Shoe Twitter handle.
At Ro is War for Ro, at underscore
also
Stancy.
Also my shoe Twitter handle.
Yeah. At underscore Stancy for me for the podcast at the SGP podcast.
Oh, God, oh, di ka pa nag-graduate.
That graduation show they've been talking about, never had one of those.
Yeah. Sorry, Ro.
Right, so thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the SGP podcast, and thank you for joining us for the opening of the new era in our new studio.
Bagong yugto.
Yeah. Oh. Literally is a bagong yugto for everything and for everyone. So on behalf of JDL, of Red Oliero, Ro Moran, my name is Stancy, and we are out of here.
Peace. Glorious. No, I won't be